Hello, and thanks for joining us on the Christian Celebration Center podcast. Our prayer is that this audio will encourage you in Christ and challenge you from God's Word. Enjoy the message.
Thank you, Pastor Keith. It's Missions Month! Parental warning. I'm just a little bit fired up. Just say. Praise God. Available as you leave today, if you haven't picked one up yet, is a schedule of all the events this Missions Month. Going to be some amazing things. Next Sunday, we've rescheduled Teen Challenge. Both Teen Challenges that we support will be here. You will hear firsthand testimonies of students that have been set free from life addictions. And there would be nothing like it. You guys have heard Teen Challenge before. You know, always a powerful Sunday. That will help us with our home missions emphasis. And then a prayer meeting 1 week from tomorrow night, special U.S. global prayer. We're going to focus the entire prayer meeting on praying for our nation, the elections, and the issues that we face. Then, 2 weeks from today, we'll have Randy Hurst here, who's a missionary evangelist, who's the advancement director on the executive team for the Assemblies of God. His fingerprints are on 2,600 of our foreign missionaries as he helps them get to the field. You'll love that message. In our second global prayer meeting, the Monday following that, which will be our last global prayer meeting for this year. And then, of course, the crowning climax of our Missions Month, Faith Promise Sunday on October 25th, where Pastor Keith will share his heart as the lead pastor and what God is saying to us as a body. That will be awesome as we come together and give our faith promises. There's also on the card an invitation for you if you'd like to join our missions teams, one of nine different missions teams, to do that anytime during Missions Month. You can take an a Get Involved card and from the pew in back of you, fill that out, drop it in the red box, and we'll call you and help you kind of discern what team would be the best fit for you. Unstoppable. Well, that's the theme for this year's Missions Month and the title of my message this morning. When you hear the word unstoppable, what do you think of? Maybe a high-speed train, hurricane-force winds, wildfires, the Detroit Lions. Okay, maybe not. You know, I used to think fire was unstoppable. Now, again, another parental warning. I'm glad we have ministry for elementary kids going on right now because they're not in here to hear me say this. All right? I used to be a firebug when I was 8 or 9 years old. And I had this sandbox. It wasn't really a sandbox. It was a sand area. It was pretty big, and I had sand. And I thought to myself, well, you know, hey, sand don't burn, right? And so I got about 25 gallons of gasoline, and I drenched the sandbox gallon after gallon after gallon of gasoline. And then, you know, the old matchboxes, I had one, and I had a match on the contact strip there and just went like this with the match. And whoa! I found myself when I woke up on my back. I didn't have to pluck my eyebrows for a while because they were gone. In fact, come to think about it, I didn't even have to cut my hair for a while. But I thought it was unstoppable, but I had the sense of presence to go get a hose and spray it out. As the sandbox was growing more and more and more and more as it was eating up the grass all the way around it. Well, I got the fire out. But the sand and the grass all the way around it was black. I got in a little bit of trouble that day. A lot of things we think are unstoppable. Oh, yeah, you should have been there. A lot of things we think are unstoppable, but the truth of the matter is that most of these things are not. There's something, however, I want to talk to you about this morning that is absolutely unstoppable. And that is the power of our God, His Word, and the expansion of His kingdom. 2 Timothy, Paul was writing, imprisoned, and he said, I might be chained, but God's word is not chained. Colossians 1:6 says, all over the world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. It was true then, and it was true today, in spite of continued persecution all over the world and in the face of increased opposition, even in our own land. The gospel of Jesus Christ, His kingdom, the purposes of God are all unstoppable. The words of the songwriter is true. His truth is marching on. Years ago, Mao Zedong was bent on the persecution and the elimination of the church in China. The church went underground, and it exploded in growth, and they say 20,000 Chinese were coming to faith in Christ every single day. The Taliban, ISIS, Boko Haram, and other radical Muslim groups are trying to terrorize and intimidate and dissuade people from following Christ. Has backfired. Even Muslims in record numbers are rejecting the claims of Islam because of these radicals. And missiologists will tell us that there are more Muslims coming to faith in Jesus Christ today than ever before in the history of man. God's purposes, His kingdom, and His gospel are indeed unstoppable. One example in Scripture as I think of God's purposes moving forward against all odds is the story of David and Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. Familiar passage, but not necessarily as a missions text. Well, let me quickly summarize the story and highlight a few key points that relates to the topic of missions. The Philistines, at the time, one of Israel's greatest rivals, confronted Israel in what I'll call a winner-take-all type of standoff. Philistines were on one hill, Israel on the other hill, and in the valley of Elah lie between them. Every day, the Philistine champion Goliath came forward and taunted the armies of Israel and invited someone to fight him. Scripture indicates that Goliath was formidable, some 9 feet tall, bronze helmet, coat of scale armor that weighed, they estimate, 125 pounds alone, javelin on his back, spear, the point of which alone, they say, was a 15-pound piece of iron, the point of the spear. Goliath, for 40 days, would come out and give his defiant challenge. Well, no one in Israel was willing to take him on. In fact, Scripture says King Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed. The Hebrew there, shattered, broken. They fell apart. They were in pieces and filled with terror and dread. One day, David, the young shepherd boy, was sent by his father Jesse with some food to check on his older brothers. He overheard Goliath's defiance and saw the effects of it on all the fighting men in Israel as they ran in fear. Goliath declared, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel." David must have thought when he heard that, "Wait just a second. What do you mean you defy? We are the people of God. We're entrusted with His message. We're supposed to be the light bearers to the world. We're supposed to be the ones pointing to the reality of Almighty God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" King Saul heard about David, sent for him. You remember, he shows up and King Saul says, "Oh, you're just a boy." And David said, "Yeah, but I'm a shepherd boy. And I have dealt with, God has delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion. This Philistine will be no different." And so he says, "Okay, take my armor." He says, "No, isn't going to work. I'm not used to it." So he took a staff, 5 small stones, and a sling. Then David receives the commission from the king. In verse 37, we'll have it on the screen. It says, "Go," this is Saul, "go and the Lord be with you." Does that sound familiar? Because in Matthew, it says this, "To us, go and make disciples of all nations, and I am with you." King Saul gave David a commission and a prayer. Jesus gives us the same commission and a promise. "I will be with you." Now, David went out to face Goliath and basically said, "You're going down." And here, don't miss it, verse 46, we'll have it on the screen. It says, "And the whole world will know there is a God in Israel." Let that sink in. David said, "The whole world will know There's a God in Israel. David's commission is our commission, to make him known where he currently is not, to step out in faith and let him use us, our service, our finances, our prayer, our voice, to spread an unstoppable gospel that will overcome any giant of unbelief. God gave David victory over Goliath and the Philistine army. And if we're going to be successful with our commissioning, we must be committed to some key points that we see in David's life. Now, the first one didn't even happen in this confrontation. It happened in the chapter prior, and that was the calling of David. You remember Samuel went out to anoint the next king of Israel, and he ends up at Jesse's house, David's father. He says, bring out your sons, and he does. So, oh, this one looks good. God said, nope, bring this one out. Nope, nope, nope. You got any other sons? He didn't even assemble David. He said, well, you know, yeah, David, he's like the youngest. He's out tending the sheep. Bring him here. They brought him here. And God said, anoint him. He is the one. Wow. The first conviction we must embrace today is that he calls the unlikely. He calls the unlikely. You say, yeah, okay, call, you know, David was unlikely, but isn't this the dude that they said of him there'd be somebody from his family line on the throne? I mean, David was a child of the promise. What? And you're not? Scripture says you're Abraham's seed, children of the promise, born of God, heirs with Christ, God's workmanship, created in Christ, temple of the Holy Spirit, more than a conqueror, friend of God and citizen of heaven, just to name a few. You're reconciled, ransomed, redeemed, and loved, and forgiven, and justified, and freed, and accepted, and secure, purified, holy, and eternal. Signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours. That's you. You're showing your age now. Don't clap. All right. Say it. And this, if that's not enough to convince you, Ephesians 4:1, check it out. For he chose us. What's the next word? He chose us before the creation of the world. Let that sink in. That just blows your mind. He chose you. While the earth was still formless and void, he had not yet even said, let there be light. And you and me were in his mind. And he said, I choose you. Before one star was ever slung into the expanse, before this earth experienced even one sunset, he chose you. And not only did he choose you, he chose you because all of our days are ordained. He chose you to be alive at this moment in history. Oh, wow. The creator of the universe chose you. Now, when you're standing there in the valley like David, with the good news in your heart and the gospel that is unstoppable, don't let the darkness intimidate you, because you were chosen even before there was any darkness. Wow. Say, well, we're not, are we all that? No, he didn't chose us because we're all that. He chose us because we weren't. What? Yeah. Look at my life verse. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many of you influential, not many of noble birth, but God chose the foolish. That's the Greek moros. It's from which we get our English word moron. That's my life verse, because every time I think about it, there's hope for me. Now notice he didn't, the leftovers weren't the morons. It says he chose the morose. Out of anybody he could have chose, he chose the foolish to confound the wise, the weak to confound the strong, the lowly things, the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. Listen, God is not looking for superstars. He never has and he never will. He is looking for regular people like you and me, people that usually are overlooked, who will simply believe, in spite of their weaknesses and limitations, that God is who he said he is, and he'll do everything that he said he'll do. And when it comes to this thing we call world missions, giving, going, serving, praying, speaking, he's looking for weak vessels that are simply moved by the conviction that there is a God in heaven. Jesus saves, and people need to hear it. He's looking for those who will surrender to him and trust God to do whatever he wants to do through them. Listen, it's not our ability that qualifies us. It is our availability and our obedience. And that combination is unstoppable. Unstoppable. Can I just speak a word of prophecy over each one of you today? I can say this because it's God's word. You may be sitting here today and you may be thinking that you're not much, but I want you to know that God of the universe is saying to you today, they're the ones. They're the ones. Anoint them. You are the chosen. And that's the truth. Number two, not only does he call the unlikely, he uses the unexpected. Yeah, you know, you'd expect David to go out in armor, right? He rejects Saul's armor. You'd expect maybe he'd have a javelin in a spear, but no armor, no javelin, no spear, only a few stones and a leather strap. That is an impossible situation. In 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds us in chapter 10, the weapons we fight with are not what you'd expect. They're not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. When we declare the gospel, we use weapons that you would not expect to be so powerful. Things like love, sacrifice, and service. Three little weapons that I'll call these little stones that we have at our disposal that you don't think are very powerful. The first is prayer. I can hear the devil every time. Oh, psh! Sounds just like Goliath. Prayer. Yeah, okay. Yeah, prayer. Okay, go ahead and spend an hour in prayer. That's pretty worthless. I don't know what you're thinking. And even us, when we leave sometimes and we pray, the enemy's whispering, well, you didn't accomplish anything. What went on? You didn't feel even any goosebumps. I mean, nothing happened. Nothing happened. The enemy's a liar, right? This month, we celebrate our 10th year of doing global prayer initiatives. You have invested over 10,000 hours, and we have seen in prayer, and we have seen as a direct result, visas granted, missionaries healed of cancer, closed doors opened, demons driven out, darkness pushed back, miraculous provision that comes at just the right time, entire villages coming to faith, first converts ever, churches planted among unreached people groups that have never before heard the name of Jesus, the unexpected weapon of prayer. Bam! Unstoppable. Participation is another weapon. There's an army of you, over 100 of you, who serve on our 9 regional teams as missionary reps who connect with and pray for and look for ways that we can financially invest in critical projects and real-time needs of our missionary families. And we need 20 more people. All of our regions need people. A team, it may not feel or appear like your participation is having much effect. But I want you to know that Christine and I, on a regular basis, sit across the table from missionary after missionary after missionary who, with tears in their eyes, say to us something like, you know, you don't know what it does to know that there is this church in Michigan who cares enough about us and what God has called us to do, to pray for us, to love us, and to believe God with us to fulfill the big dreams he's given us. Missionary after missionary. And because of it, The darkness is being pushed back. Discouragement is being diluted, and missionaries' hands are being strengthened, and their voice is being heard all over the world. And finally, this little slingshot, I'm going to call it partnership. Partnership. Paul's talked about partnership in Philippians 1. He says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. Partnership is a powerful weapon. See, in this fellowship of the Assemblies of God, of which we're a part, formed over 100 years ago now for the purpose of accomplishing, quote, the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. And missions became the bedrock of the DNA of our fellowship. And I believe the reason that we've grown from 300 people to over 70 million worldwide. World missions in our fellowship was built on this concept of partnership, the idea that together with thousands of churches, we can support more missionaries and do more in missions than we could ever do individually. And today, the Assemblies of God has over 6,000 missionaries and missionary associates in 256 countries and territories at home and around the world. This little power of partnership is also CCC's. It's our little slingshot that God uses to maximize the impact that we as one church can have on global missions. The power of this partnership is what we experience every missions month. And at the end of missions month, when each one of us make our faith promise, we may make our faith promise not realizing that it's going to change the world, but collectively, together, it's a force that God uses to do the impossible. Last year, you gave a record of $724,000 to the work of missions globally. Out of 13,000 Assemblies of God churches, you were number 33 in this nation in your missions giving. Every month, your faith promise helps to support 190 missionary families and projects from right here in Midland to almost every country of the world. Anywhere you see on TV a disaster has struck, you know that your missions dollars are already there having an impact. Teen challenge centers, maternal centers, these are all things that you've impacted even in the last 18 months. Coffee houses around the world, ministries in the inner city and to the homeless, the trafficked, Bibles distributed, pastors trained, churches planted, healthcare ministries, feeding programs, and water treatment. Just in the last 18 months, thousands have come to faith in Christ from an individual Somali family in Djibouti, to hundreds in the villages of Nepal, to thousands in crusades throughout Latin America just in the last 18 months, all hearing the truth that there is a God in heaven who sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in his name will have eternal life. Make no mistake about it, this global giant of darkness and hopelessness and need is being brought down, not by javelins or spears or human ingenuity or might, but by the unstoppable power of God working through unexpected weapons of prayer, participation, and partnership. He calls the unlikely. He uses the unexpected. And number three, he accomplishes the impossible. Little shepherd boy facing a fully armored 9-foot-tall veteran of war with a stick and a few small stones. I'd say that's pretty much the description of impossible, wouldn't you? David stepped out in faith and trusted an unstoppable God. And that unstoppable God moved that day in the Valley of Elah. And he's still moving today, anywhere God's people will choose to trust him. Let me just give you a couple of examples. In a country in Southeast Asia, among severe opposition, and where the powers of darkness attempt to rule and reign through the oppressive giant of Hinduism, one of our own workers with financial help from your mission's giving, mobilized 150 national workers in his country to take the unstoppable gospel into the midst of the darkness and declare like David, there is a God in heaven and Jesus saves. 800 to 900 people became believers in Christ. And as a result, 42 new fellowships have been planted. That is amazing. Unstoppable. Impossible. In Indonesia, largest country, a Muslim country on the planet, a worker we'll call Mark and his team attempted to take the unstoppable gospel where it had never been before to the unreached people of the Sundanese. Over time, they began to build a relationship with one of the families there and noticed something, that this family's children were sick. He also noted that all the kids in this entire village were sick. He began to pray, and the Lord spoke to him and said, the reason they're sick is because of the demonic power of the amulets. See, in that place, Muslim children would wear amulets, well, all Muslims would, wear amulets around their neck, around their waist, and their right wrist. And the Lord said to the missionary, you cut those amulets off, confess Christ, and I'll heal the children. And so, stepping out in a risk, this missionary said to the family he knew, told them what the Lord had said. The family said, hey, cut them off. Cut them off. The missionary cut the amulets off and immediately confessed Christ, and the child was healed. Little by little, listen, one family after another in this village said, hey, cut them off of my kids. Get this off of my kids. They brought their kids. They cut the amulets off. They confessed Christ. And the God of heaven and earth did the impossible. And that entire village of unreached people came to the Lord. And there are now 65 house churches among this Sundanese people group who are no longer unreached. That is unstoppable. Our own Abigail Shear and another team and her team, while are participating in Carry the Love Tour this spring, was assigned to the Pacific Northwest while sharing the gospel on the streets. You know, the Northwest isn't the Bible Belt. They were encountering many who were opposing the message, and the giant of skepticism rose up like Goliath to defy the message of the kingdom of God, intimidate his messengers. And then God began to do something impossible. Then God began to give these students who were witnessing words of knowledge about physical ailments of those they were witnessing to. Now, if you're new to the idea of Pentecost, this is what that looks like. You're talking to somebody, and out of the blue, the Lord drops a word of knowledge, and you realize. And so you say to the person, you have a problem with your lungs? And they say, how'd you know that? And so, well, the Lord loves you so much that they just told me that you had a problem with your lungs, and the Lord will heal you if you'll let him. And this is what started happening. Until, one after another, words of knowledge resulted in physical healing. I want to quote Abigail as she sent me her report. She said, when someone gets healed, all arguments and doubts about God really don't work anymore. Yes! 80 people came to faith in Christ through their ministry. Praise the Lord, unstoppable. All right, so get your tray tables, put them up, seats in upright position. Let's land this plane. Here we go, coming in for a landing here. I love how this story ends, folks. Goliath not only defied the armies of the living God, he defied God himself. Musicians, please come. When he declared to David, 1 Samuel 17:43, he said, Goliath said, am I a dog that you should come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Not David's gods. The Philistine cursed David by the Philistine's gods. Kind of like when we pray in Jesus' name. You see, behind Goliath's curse was to invoke the name and the authority of his gods against David, against David's God, and against God's people. At the time, one of the most prominent gods of the Philistines was Dagon. In essence, what Goliath was declaring was, in the name, authority, and power of our God, Dagon, you, your people, and your God will be destroyed. Really? Interesting. Just a few chapters earlier, chapter 5 to be exact, the Philistines, maybe some of these same people, captured the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of Almighty God. They took that Ark of the Covenant and they put it in Dagon's temple beside the statue of that god. The next morning, the Philistines came out and Dagon's statue was flat on its face. So they set it back up. The next morning, they came in again and Dagon's statue again flat on its face. And his head was broken off and a few other body parts. Don't think God doesn't care about details. Now, here we are. The man who says Dagon, the great God, is going to take you down. David declares, you may have come against me with sword and spear and javelin and in the name of this God that is no God at all. But in verse 45, he said this. He said, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the army, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. See, this wasn't about David and Goliath. And it isn't about these things today. This is about light and darkness. This is about a cosmic battle. But look what happened. The stone that David slung hit Goliath in the forehead. And in verse 48, he says he fell face down. Face down. Just like the God whose authority he used to curse him. And then what happened? David takes Goliath's sword and does what? In verse 51, he cuts off his head. Wow. Unstoppable. That's our God. Now, when you read the story of David and Goliath, you become very much aware that David's motive, listen to me, was not about stroking his ego or winning a battle. It wasn't about giants or stones or armor. David said to Goliath in everyone's hearing, very interesting. He said, God is going to hand you over to me. Here it is. So that the world may know there is a God in heaven. And he alone is mighty to save. That was the point for David. And that's the point for us. Today, it's not about being number 33 in the nation, flags or themes. Today, we find ourselves in the valley like David in the midst of an eternal struggle between light and the darkness. The enemy of the gospel knows his time is short, the day is almost spent, and the billions who still sit in darkness, blinded by the God of this world, need to know there is a God in heaven. Jesus is the only way, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Dear people of God, it's not a time to shrink back or be intimidated by the giant of darkness or excuse our involvement because of perceived limitations or lack. Listen, he calls the unlikely, he uses the unexpected, and he accomplishes the impossible. While others are consumed with the distractions of societal chaos, screaming loudly all around us, and still others are retreated, paralyzed by fear. Like David did that day on the battlefield, we must shake ourselves into action. We are the people of God. We are his light bearers. We've been entrusted with the good news of the gospel that anyone anywhere can have peace with God. So, whether it's in Southeast Asia or Indonesia, Pacific Northwest, or your neighbor across the street, a coworker or a best friend, God's word, his kingdom, his gospel, his power is unstoppable. Just as God accomplished the impossible through a little shepherd boy and brought that giant down, he'll do it through you. He'll do it through me. He'll do it through anybody else who will step out in our weakness and trust him with our obedience. Remember, it's not our ability that qualifies us. It's our availability.
Thank you for listening. You know, we believe God has something amazing in store for you today. And now is the perfect time to take a few moments and pray about what you just heard. If this message spoke to you, we would love to hear about it. Send us an email to office@cccmidland.com or connect with us on your favorite social media @cccmidland.